Dispensational lie number three, Paul preached a different gospel than Jesus Christ. That's the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, many years ago, in the early 1990s, I was getting ready for church one Sunday morning. I was actually shaving. You know, I was listening to a Christian radio broadcast on WMCA. They used to play Christian programs, you know, each half hour to be a different ministry would come on the air. And I was listening to this man preaching, and as he was preaching, he started to say the Apostle Paul was basically the first one to preach the gospel of grace. And I remember I actually stopped shaving and turned to the radio and said, "What? What?" And it probably wasn't the only time I did that. But this is what I'll be talking about today, you know. There are people, ladies and gentlemen, the dispensational people, that teach that the gospel of the kingdom, that's what Jesus Christ preached, it ended when the Jewish people rejected Christ. So in other words, he preached the gospel, and it's referred to as the gospel of the kingdom. And basically what they say is when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, that's when the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom ended, okay? And if you look at Matthew 24 and 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." If you look at, there was a man that wrote a book called Dispensational Truth, I think it was called Clarence Larkin. I used to see this book all the time when I would go to the bookstores. It was always right there in the front on the top shelf. And I used to thumb through it. It got all those charts and everything. You know, very enticing for people who like to have everything, you know, in order. They like to know when this is going to happen, when the next thing is going to happen. So what this man basically teaches is, you know, the different dispensations and the gospel of the kingdom that is spoken of, that I just read to you, that this would be preached for a witness unto all nations. You know, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, ladies and gentlemen. And he says, no, that's for a witness. That's not for salvation. That's not the gospel of salvation. It's a witness unto nations, and it all has to do with the future kingdom of Israel and the next dispensation, talking about the millennial time. So this is why I'm preaching this message, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because that is a doctrine of devils. It's a doctrine of demons. You know, the dispensational teachers, they will tell you that the gospel, you know, oh, that's law. That's law, but that's not grace, and so on and so forth. And that's not true. So, you know, and then, like this man said, this one particular man, I don't remember his name, but he basically said, you know, the Apostle Paul, he preached the gospel of grace. This is the gospel that's going now, but it's not the gospel of the kingdom. But I'm going to show you in this message, ladies and gentlemen, that most certainly the Apostle Paul preached the same gospel. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. It's recorded in the scriptures. So you need to know these things, ladies and gentlemen, because the way that dispy people, I call them dispy for short, dispensational teachers, they break everything up into different little dispensations. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way God does it. So let's dig in here. As I said, Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of God. John 1, verses 10 to 17, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father," listen, "full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses," listen, "but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You want to see the ultimate picture of grace, ladies and gentlemen? Take a look at the man called Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So don't let anybody tell you that this was law that was being preached, ladies and gentlemen, and it's only for a witness, but it's not for salvation. I'm here to tell you today, this is the gospel by which I was saved. Glory to God. Born again of the Spirit. Oh, yes. You know, there's a birth that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, through receiving the person of Jesus Christ. It's called the new birth or the spiritual birth. John chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. Here the Lord is talking to a Jewish man. And the man obviously did not understand what it meant to be born again. So let's pick it up, John 3, verses 6 to 8. And he told this man, this Jewish rabbi, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, you know, I've spoken about this many times, ladies and gentlemen. You must be born again because it's a fleshly birth, in other words, a physical birth. So if you're listening, you were born physically into this world. But you must be born again spiritually or of the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about here. You must be born again of the Spirit. And when you're born again of the Spirit, folks, things happen. You know, you realize that the Lord is in you, the Spirit of God. My, oh, my. So this is something that has to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Remember those scriptures that I spoke, that full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See the distinction there? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, you see the grace of God in the parables and stuff like that. Let me just give you one here. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. It says, and he spake, meaning Jesus spake, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here's this guy in this parable. You know, the Pharisee, man, he thought he was keeping the law. He's trying to do the right thing. And he looked over to this buzzard over on the other side. He says, I'm glad I'm not like this guy over here. You know, this people are extortionists, or unjust, or adulterers, or this publican here. And he goes on, I fast, and so on and so forth. But what did the publican or the tax collector do? He beat his breast. He was humbling himself before Almighty God. And all he could say is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful. Have mercy upon me. And this is what anybody can do. If you want to be saved, call upon the Lord's. God, have mercy upon me. So Jesus said that man went home justified. Glory to God. What does that look like, folks? That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. So this gospel of Jesus Christ, we see is spoken right there in Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus Christ was meek. He was humble. We see the grace of God. You could look at that story, the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. I mean, the Lord knew her sins. You know, he said, you've been married, I think it was five times before. The man you're living with, he's not your husband. But yet the Lord offered that woman spiritual living water. He asked her for a drink, don't forget, a physical water, the woman at the well. And she basically said, how come you're asking me? You know, we don't have any dealings with the Jewish people. You know, they didn't get along with each other. And he said to her, if you only knew who you were talking to, I would have given you living water. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. So folks, this gospel is a beautiful gospel. It's not law. This is the mercy of Almighty God. You're talking God in the flesh, the Word made flesh. Glory to his name. So Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus was not hammering people over the head with the law, saying, do this, do that. He didn't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the woman caught in adultery. That's another illustration. You know, he was without sin. Pick up your stone and throw it. So nothing but the mercy of God you see in this man, this person, God in the flesh called Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Mark 1:14-15. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Luke 17:20-21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Don't forget that. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, the kingdom that the Jewish people were looking for, when Jesus came, they didn't like what they saw. So, you know, apparently the dispensational teachers say, because the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ, you know, that basically ended the kingdom message, but we know that is not true. So, you know, if you've been born again of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, I've been born again, you're in the kingdom of God. As I said, it's a spiritual birth, and if you've never been born again, you're still outside. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You're not saved by keeping the law any more than the woman at the well was, ladies and gentlemen. It's not true. So, It's very important you know that. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 28. Then was brought unto him, unto Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, or mute. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. That's awesome. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils or demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils or demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils or demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Hallelujah. Powerful passage of scripture. So here the Lord was going about his regular business, ladies and gentlemen. He's healing people. People are being delivered from demon powers, demon spirits. And the people, it says they were amazed. And it's not this the son of David. They're saying, they know, is this the Messiah? So the Pharisees, the Jewish Pharisees, they didn't go for that. They didn't like anybody talking that way about Jesus. And the Lord knew basically what they were talking about. So here, the Pharisees, you know, the Lord is doing this great work. He's casting out demons out of people. And the Jewish Pharisees, what did they say? You know what this guy's up to, this guy Jesus? That's not, has nothing to do with God casting the devils out. He's doing it by the power of Beelzebub, the prince or the chief of devils. That's why that's happening. He's operating under the power of the devil, the chief devil, and that's why the demons are coming out. They're obeying the chief devil or the prince of the devils. That's what they're saying there, folks. So, basically, in another part of the scriptures, it says, be careful what you're saying. That's blasphemy. Oh, yes, that is blasphemy. So this is what the Lord faced when he walked the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil absolutely hates the kingdom of God. He hates the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Jesus was casting out devils, and he met with great opposition. Oh, yes, he did. So that's something you need to know, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the death of Jesus Christ, we know that the Lord spoke many times that he was going to be killed, that he'd be risen again on the third day. So that's part of the gospel that you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, and it does have to do with salvation. So Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So here the Lord is telling the people that the elders, the chief priests, he's talking about the religious Jewish people. Think about this. Chief priests. And he's going to be killed. But he's getting back up on the third day. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament or covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So here we are. It was that Passover meal. You know the scriptures where he's sitting down with them. And he's basically prophesying his own death. And he broke bread with them. And he drank the wine. And it says, this cup, as he lifted up the cup, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. He's prophesying his death on the cross for us sinners. Oh, yes. That's what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. Prophesying his death on the cross. So we know that Jesus Christ went to the cross. We remember his death until he comes. This is the new covenant in his blood. So very important. These are all parts of the one gospel. Another time he said this, John 2, verses 18 and 19. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? What things? Actually, he was turning over tables in the temple. They were selling things, and they were merchandising, and he didn't go for it. And so they basically said, what do you do? What sign? What gives you the right to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was talking about the temple of his body. That's what he was talking about, ladies and gentlemen. So beautiful scriptures to remember. Let's go to John chapter 20, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is after Jesus Christ was killed on the cross. And keep in mind, he prophesied that he would get up from the dead. Powerful. John 20, verses 24 to 31. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Let me stop there for a second. So here, Christ rose from the dead, and some of them had seen the Lord. Now, this is amazing stuff, folks. When you think about the horrific manner in which the Lord was slain upon the cross, the blood just hanging there, and they were devastated, obviously. But we know the good news, hallelujah, that he rose from the dead. And now they're telling Thomas, and he said, look, when I see the holes in the hands, okay, when I see the thrust my hand into his side, he knew that Christ was pierced with a a spear. And he says, when I do that, then I'll believe. I mean, think about this. These were people, these were the other disciples that Thomas walked with. And can you imagine how they're exuberant and trying to tell him, Thomas, we saw him. We saw him. And he says, I don't believe it. Now watch this, verse 27. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now the doors were shut and here comes Jesus into the room. This is unbelievable. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Let me stop there. So here the Lord comes into the room, you know, picture somebody coming into the room, you see, you know, you close, you're having a meeting or something, and the door's locked, and somebody comes into the room without opening the door, you know, that might get you attention. I know it would get my attention, folks. So this is King Jesus came into the room, and he called Thomas over and said, Thomas, come here. Come here, Thomas. Take your finger. Look at my hands. He's basically saying, stick your finger in there, in those holes. Come here, Thomas. Take your hand now. Go ahead. Take your hand, Thomas, and thrust it into my side. Go ahead. Go on, Thomas. And be not faithless, but believe it. This is incredible, folks. The Lord heard the words that Thomas spoke, that I won't believe it until I see it. And that's exactly what he did. He says, come here and do exactly what you wanted to do. And then Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Glory to God. So these things are written, ladies and gentlemen, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, or that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God, and that you can have life through his name. Keep in mind that the Jewish people at that time, the majority, they refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, or the Son of God. They definitely did not believe that. In fact, when he declared that he was the Son of God, they say that was one of the reasons they wanted to kill him. They told him, because you make yourself equal with God. Think about that. So this is some heavy-duty stuff we got here. So keep that in mind. Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead. The Lord heard what Thomas said, and he invited Thomas to come and do exactly what he wanted to do. Stick your finger into the holes in my hands. Thrust your hand into my side. Can you imagine this? This is Jesus Christ, folks. This is the Jesus. If you're born again, if you're a believer, this is the Jesus we believe in. This is the Jesus we serve. This is the one who conquered sin and death. And he walked this world 40 days after he was killed on a cross. Then he ascended into heaven. This is King Jesus. This is the one you need, ladies and gentlemen. If you're lost today, you've never been saved, and you wonder if this stuff is true. It is true. Glory to God. It is true. And the Spirit of the living God will show you that it is true. You can call upon the Lord even as I'm preaching, folks. And don't forget that. Let's go now after the resurrection. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things, listen, pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he preached the kingdom of God before he was killed. He preached the kingdom of God after he was killed. Hallelujah. Let's get to Paul now. I'm here to tell you today that the Apostle Paul preached the kingdom of God. He preached the same gospel of the kingdom that the person Jesus Christ preached. Hallelujah. Let's go here. Let's take a look, a reminder of how this Apostle Paul came to know the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 22. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put in his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, isn't that beautiful? Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat or food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway or immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So what a powerful portion of scripture here. So here's Paul, he gets saved, and the Lord speaks to this man Ananias and says, go to this man Saul of Tarsus. Now, this he was named known by the name of Saul of Tarsus, surnamed Paul. So when you hear Saul and Paul, I'm talking about the same person. So Ananias went there by order of the Lord God Almighty from heaven. And can you imagine Ananias is talking with the Lord and basically saying, Lord, are you sure? Do you know who this guy is? Do you know who this man is? I mean, this guy was a tyrant, and that's why Ananias was shocked. He was a persecutor of Christians. Many times Christians were killed, and he gave consent to the death of those Christians, ladies and gentlemen. But look what he did when Paul got saved. He immediately preached Christ. He was preaching Jesus Christ in the synagogues and telling people he's the Son of God. The very thing that Paul despised, now he's preaching. Look at that. So look at the message that he's bringing forth, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ is the Son of God. You see that? So keep in mind, folks, that the kingdom of God, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. Hallelujah. If you remember another time when the Lord said to Peter and the other disciples, whom do men say that I am? And then he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of God. So basically, that's the message. You know, if you look at what the Lord said to Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. It's a supernatural revelation to understand who Jesus Christ is. Let's go now, Galatians 1, verses 20 to 24. Now the things which I write unto you, this is Paul preaching, writing. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was known by face unto the churches. No, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he, meaning himself, which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Hallelujah. Now, folks, let me read that portion again. But they had heard only that he, which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. So, folks, right here, this passage of Scripture obliterates that whole argument that Paul was preaching a different gospel, you see? Because it says here, he's preaching the faith which he once destroyed. He's preaching the very same message that he used to persecute and come against. So, and that people say, he's preaching what we preach. So he's preaching the faith which once he destroyed. Don't forget that. It's good to know these things when you're dealing with dispensational type of people. So you couldn't stop this man, Paul. I mean, this guy was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he used his knowledge. The man was a great student of the Scriptures, but he didn't know the Lord until that day on the way to Damascus. So he's able, by being a great student that he was, that he could now tie those Old Testament Scriptures to prophecies and proving to his own people that Jesus was in fact the Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one that they needed. They needed to turn to him. If they wanted salvation, that is what they needed, folks. And yeah, absolutely, it has everything to do with salvation. Look at this, 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 5. This is written by the Apostle Paul. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So here's another great proof scripture to show that Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. He's telling the people, you know, listen, if any man teaches you anything other than this, don't listen to them. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So he's promoting the words of Jesus Christ. He's promoting the doctrine or teachings of Jesus Christ. So he's preaching the same message, ladies and gentlemen. Romans 1, verses 1 to 4. It says here, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, well, this is the gospel of God. Then you have the gospel of Christ and the everlasting gospel. And they say, this means this. Look, the gospel is the gospel. When you hear the word gospel, it's talking about the gospel. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. So, you know, Paul is basically repeating, you know, this, the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if you, as I said, you know, Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that had the Passover meal, the last Passover meal with his disciples. And I want to show you this, Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. And as they were eating, this is before Christ went to the cross, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament covenant, which is shed for many, for what? For the remission of sins. So we're talking about the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. Christ is going to die for our sins. And it's all about the blood. It's a new covenant in his blood, ladies and gentlemen. So, and if you check out what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament or covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Hallelujah. So here's Paul. This is 1 Corinthians 11. He's given the same message that the Lord did when he actually sat down with his own disciples before he went to the cross. He was prophesying his death upon the cross. So here's Paul using that same terminology and saying it's all about the blood. It's all about the new covenant. It's the same gospel, folks. So the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom, we're talking about the same gospel. Now, this next passage is a classic passage used by a dispensationalist. People will use this. It's almost like a trick question or something. And, people say, "What's the gospel? What's the gospel?" And, "What do you mean? What is the gospel?" So this is what they use. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So as I said, people say, these dispensational, "What is the gospel? What is the gospel?" As if you're preaching a different gospel. You're not, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ is the one who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So yes, this is a description of the gospel, but it's the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, that I've been talking about here. In the gospel, the four gospels account, it talks about he prophesied his death. That's why I'm sharing this with you. He prophesied his death. He died, he rose, and he saw him in living color. The gospel is the gospel. So this is just simply describing the gospel. So it's not some other dispensational thing. It's not this special gospel of grace and this gospel of the kingdom stopped. Listen to me, folks. The gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace are the very same thing. I will prove that to you right now in the book of Acts chapter 20. Listen carefully. Acts chapter 20, verses 18 to 28. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks or Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." In other words, trouble's coming my way. I'm probably going to be locked up. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, listen, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." There it is. Isn't that beautiful? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now look, very next verse. "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. I got to stop there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to read verses 24 and 25 again to you just to show you once again, don't forget this, the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel of the grace of God are the very same thing. And that's exactly what this man Paul preached. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. You're a Christian today, folks. Don't ever forget that you've been purchased. You've been bought with a price. You've been purchased with the blood of God. Hallelujah. This gospel is a glorious gospel, ladies and gentlemen. So, as I'm showing you that this man, Paul, preached the same gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, gospel of grace, ladies and gentlemen, it's the same thing. Let me go to Acts 28, verses 23 to 31. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him. He's talking about Paul. There came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Look at that. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. There's one Bible study, folks. I'd give anything to be sitting there listening to this man talk. Can you imagine this? This man knew the Word of God. He knew the Scriptures. He would open the Scriptures to them. I guess it was on scrolls. And he would be persuaded, and he loved them. He wanted their souls to be saved. He'd be preaching Christ. He'd be showing them at the books of Moses. He'd be shown from the prophets from morning to night, morning till evening, saying, look at this. Probably went to Isaiah 53. Read this. This is speaking of Christ. You see, this is what was going on from morning till night, ladies and gentlemen. This man was preaching because he had a heart, a love for souls. Okay, he knew. He came out. He was a persecutor of Christians, killing them. So now he was so glad to be saved and washed in the blood. Hallelujah. And listen, next verse. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. That's the way it is, folks. You could pour your heart out to people, and still some people won't believe. Now think about this witness that Paul was given to the people. Can you imagine sitting under this type of teaching of a man with a testimony that he has, and yet still there were people that were hard-hearted and would not believe what he said. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, or Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. They had hard hearts. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. I guess he rented a house. And received all that came in unto him. Preaching the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So, you know, that's powerful because when the Lord said, well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. And you know what he was doing? He was basically quoting verbatim from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. So it was a prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. He said, look, Isaiah prophesied this very thing. Basically, he said, look, you guys are so hard-hearted, I'm moving on. They were presented with the gospel. They were presented with the word of God from morning to night. Oh, my. Can you imagine the responsibility for the people that were there in that house whenever Paul preached it and would testify the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God? He's trying to tell them, look, it's about Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the one you need. You can be saved. He'll wash you clean because of the blood he shed on the cross. That's what was going on in that house, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm getting ready to close it here, folks, and I leave you with this. Don't ever forget this, folks. What you're hearing today, you're hearing it for a reason. You are here by divine appointment. You've been presented with the gospel. It's all about Jesus. He paid the price. He paid the price for your sin. The scriptures make it clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory. You must repent and believe the gospel. You can be born again. You can be saved. You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise, folks. You know, and you know, I was thinking of this before. Folks, you already know you're a sinner. The Spirit of God is convicting you. And if you just call out and say, you know, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Folks, and you will. I'm not going to soft soap the gospel. You will end up in hell forever, for eternity, folks. You will end up in hell forever. And to take a look around, you see what's going on in the world in these days. You can call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, no matter what. Lord, sin, cleanse me with your blood. Lord, I want to be saved. Call upon the Lord in your own name, in your own words, I mean. And the Lord will wash you clean, folks. Listen to me. You will be born again. I'm telling you the truth here today. I'm speaking from personal experience, folks. If God could save a wretch like me, he can save you too. I deserve nothing but hell. I've said it many times over. I deserve nothing but hell. But I know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's my Savior. He died for me. I was born again of the Spirit. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And this message that I present to you, this is the message that Christ presented. This is the message that the disciples presented. You can be saved, folks. So I'm going to leave it right there. Be blessed.